Thank you for joining the Verifiable Credentials Education Task Force call, Monday, May 9th. I'm going to go through a few notes, and then we're going to have a presentation with Sharon Liu from JFF and JFF Labs, who is going to be introducing the interoperable PlugFest for education. So first, IP note, anyone can participate in these calls, but if you'd like to make any substantive contributions to any of this work, you should be a member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. You should ensure that you have a W3 account. And then this is, link in the chat, is the contributor license agreement. There you go. Secondly, all of these meetings are recorded. So we have audio, oftentimes video, and a transcriber. Our transcription is being automated, so we call this our transcriber robot. You may see in the chat that the transcription happening there, and you could help us with the minutes if you put in any sort of substitutions and corrections for anything that the transcriber gets really wrong. You can do this by typing S/ incorrect term / and then correct term. I'm going to put that in the chat for you right now. The example is right there in the chat. Note that we also use a queue system, especially when we have as many participants as we do today. So if you would like to speak, please put Q+ in the chat, like so, and then you can remove yourself from the chat with the Q-. As a facilitator, I will keep an eye on that and make sure that you get called on. Okay, is anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves today? Hey, Mallory, would you like to turn on your audio and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Mallory Dwinaldo. I'm the Chancellor of Reach University. We do apprenticeship degrees, originally just in teaching, but as we think about apprenticeship degrees across other industries, are looking to use learning and employment records that meet best practices and industry standards. So really excited to be here.
Great. Thanks, Mallory.
And my name is Rebecca Buzaka. I'm with Territorium, and we provide comprehensive learner records and digital wallets, and our CTO is on the call with us as well. His name is Gerardo.
Excellent. Thanks, Rebecca. Gerardo, I believe you introduced yourself before, but would you like to say hello again? Okay. Anybody else who'd like to make an introduction or reintroduction, update on anything you're working on? Okay. And does anybody have any announcements they'd like to make today?
So you.
Okay. Hey, Manu. You have the floor.
Hey, thanks. An announcement that is somewhat relevant to this call. There recently a set of test suites that were released for the Verifiable Credential API. I'll put the link in the chat channel, Verifiable Credential API test suites. Verifiable. There we go. So in the chat channel, the test suites are basically testing the basic interoperability between the issuance infrastructure, verifier infrastructure, and we have a test suite for the signature test suite, the Edwards Curve signature test suite. This is first of many different test suites that we're releasing for interoperability. They're ready for experimental integration. We already have multiple implementers passing these test suites, so that's a good thing. Just letting this community know that those are out there, and we'll be releasing probably one new test suite every other month Next up are things like credential refresh and credential status list and bid key, and things of that nature. That's it.
That's excellent. Thank you, Mung.
Okay. So doing announcements, saying the IOW is coming up, but now IOW has passed. But yes. There's going to be another one in the fall, so mark your calendars, people.
1-2-1-2.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else with announcements?
Can you hear me, Carrie?
I can hear you, Phil.
Quick announcement. I don't have details of this other than a date, but it looks like there will be a meeting in D.C. In July on the 14th regarding the use of national language NLP, AI, and ML techniques to extract both skills and competency data from unstructured sources, as well as to look at unstructured representations of credentials and consider their mapping to verifiable credential data models. So the best I can tell you at the moment is that it will be in DC on the 14th of July at the Microsoft DC facility. But keep an eye on both T3 and Learn and other resources for the exact dates, the exact further information. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. I don't see anybody else in the queue. So I think we can get started. Okay. So, today we have, Sharon Liu here from JFF and JFF Labs. And before she, comes on, I just wanted to say, a couple of things about what's going to happen today, what she's going to describe, and how it relates to this group. So at VC Edu, our primary objectives are to provide resources, guidance, and support for the alignment of learning, employment, and achievement credentials to the verifiable credential standard. And we're also looking at how do we align with the common behaviors and protocols that can help increase integrity and the understandability of learner data across as many contexts as learners need. It's a very ambitious goal, and we're really very much at the beginning of this and making some great progress. So Sharon's here today to introduce an initiative with JFF and VC Edu that encourages community participation and collaboration to help us move towards these goals. And even though it's very early, it's a good way to help us make progress on the topics that we have open now that we really wanted to move forward on. So, and just a reminder before Sharon comes on, if you have any questions, feel free to put them in the chat or also queue yourself in the chat and I'll keep an eye on it. Sharon, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Carrie, and thank you for having me back. I feel like I'm stalking this group for sure now because it is, I think, the second time in as many months that I've been on here. But as Carrie said, what I wanted to do was talk to you a little bit about something that JFF Labs and the National Governors Association is working on. And essentially, I guess I'm really, Manu, I appreciate you making an announcement about the test suites and that you are releasing every month. And it's good to hear that there are actually a lot of multiple implementers of that. I think that one of the things that I'm interested in is how to have more implementers of this kind of interoperability testing in the education and employment communities. So as general context, I'll say that JFF is a national not-for-profit organization that is interested in figuring out how to provide equitable opportunity for all. And part of that is through JFF Labs, thinking about the ways that technology and investments in technology can accelerate some of that. One of the things that we've been thinking a lot about is the ways that individuals can represent themselves and their abilities, and thinking about the various different ways that individuals learn and are given credit for the skills they have, whether on the workplace or formally at educational institutions. And for this group, I think it's not a surprise that the answer is those are all actually just assertions and basically credentials. So in this if we are pursuing our vision, which is to have interoperability amongst these set credentials so that individuals can curate a set of these over their lifetime, then we need to think about the different ways that we can begin to demonstrate this. We published some research that you were so kind to allow me to present to this group last month, which just talked a lot about the different digital wallet products that are in this ecosystem right now, and specifically the verifiable credentials ones. And what we want to use this opportunity to do then is to build on that work and to say, like, actually, it would be ideal if there were more digital wallets products and projects in the education and employment ecosystem that did implement the VC standard. So this is our attempt to, support the community in doing this. We have our partners at the National Governors Association and at Walmart have really generously given us this space to do this. And how we intend to do this is in partnership with who we consider to be our end users, which are communities, including policymakers, educational institutions. We have a community of practice through the National Governors Association of, I think, 14 states and a half a dozen or so observer states who are interested in implementing these statewide. But what the question that we want to ask is, what is the infrastructure need to look like to give learners and workers the most amount of flexibility? And so we came up with this idea of mimicking a lot of the work that the W3C has already been doing through the SVIP program to actually allow the different providers in the education ecosystem to demonstrate interoperability, to provide some assurance that as states and networks begin to implement this, that it won't, that learners will maintain the most amount of flexibility that they can. So we have, we are going to try to, I guess, on-ramp ourselves into this interoperability plugfest demonstration exercise. And our first activity will be in about a month. What we would like to do is sort of as a first attempt, the first of what I hope is many attempts to do this. We'd like to start, the goal being, the true multi-vendor, multi-platform interoperability of the credential, right? So a learner can take their credential, no matter where they earn it, and move it with them wherever they want, including across multiple different records, different wallets and different sort of credentialing platforms. With that goal in mind, we want to start really simply with just seeing what the different digital credentials look like in the verifiable credentials format in as many wallets as possible. So there is an invitation that went out and, I will be happy to, I think I posted it on the public group, listserv as well. What we'll be doing is, we'll just be doing that very short sequence, a verifiable credential in the Open Badge 3 format, which I know hasn't been released yet, but I think I'll let Carrie talk a little bit about that in a minute. That is issued to any wallet provider and displayed. And we have, I guess, a $10,000 bounty for this. I don't think bounty is probably the right word, but we have $10,000 that we're willing to give to any wallet provider that's willing to participate in this exercise. We haven't dictated any of the other terms, and I think we want to use this time to discuss some of the questions that you might have about this. Carrie, do you want to add a couple of things to what we're proposing to just give a little bit broader context before we get into some of the specific questions to discuss?
Sure. So what we were thinking is that it would make sense to issue a single education credential or achievement credential into the wallet. And we were talking about using Open Badges 3.0 because it is almost ready for candidate release in June next month. And IMS Global has already made it possible so that we could start piloting with this standard. So we could start working on that. We actually already have been started working on making an NPM module with that standard over at the DCC. So members of the DCC have been working on that already. So we should have that available pretty soon. So it makes it easy to say, okay, we have this one badge, this one standard is already aligned with verifiable credentials, And let's see how we could display this, you know, inside of a wallet, which is something that we've been trying to accomplish at BC Edu. John's in the queue. I'm going to call on him. Sharon, okay?
Perfect.
So is the Plugfest just to issue and present an Open Badges 3.0 schema credential and not to move it from wallet across wallets, but just to plug in the OB3 you know, credential? Is that the limit of the Plugfest? Or are we expected to show that this, you know, could actually be moved after it's been issued to a wallet to another wallet? That is my question.
For this first stage, we just want to issue and display. All of those things will happen in subsequent steps afterwards. But there are, I think, a number of people in the education community who do issue credentials who are not in the VC format. And what we want to do is help people on ramp into this community and into this process.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brandon, you have the floor.
Does this mean that today the Open Badges V3 specification is publicly and openly available to anyone that wants to look at it and use it for this Plugfest, or is it still proprietary?
Oh, I can answer that one, Sharon. The Open Badges repository is public. That was part of the agreement between Mozilla and IMS Global when it was shifted there. So while the meetings are private, the repo is public. And I'll add a link to that in the chat in a minute. Right now, the speaker queue is empty. Marty.
Yeah, so one of the a question I have is in regards to what the credential to exchange is. I think there's a lot of hello world out there right now, and I would just encourage something a little bit more substantive in this credential to be exchanged, or are there any thoughts around that? Does that make sense?
Okay, so I'll take the first stab at it, but also like punt to Carrie as well. Marty, I don't actually think there are a lot of hello worlds out there that are really hello worlds. And I think this is what we need to see through doing this exercise, is if it is real. I guess without sounding overly critical, I think my understanding is that many of the many people who believe they have done it really have not.
I could add just a little bit to that, which is that the BC Edu recommendation, the model recommendation report, hasn't been released yet, but will be released probably early summer, and that Open Badges and CLR have just made their way to allowing two VCs. So we haven't actually been doing this in an interoperable way yet, or as interoperable as we could be, and so this is a push towards starting that. So it is very, very early, although we do have some implementations. They're not exactly how we're hoping they will be going forward. Dimitri, you're in the queue.
Thanks. Yeah, I wanted to chime in, respond to Marty. I think we can't underestimate the sheer difficulty of doing cross-platform, cross-language hello world with digital signatures. Like, I think you would be shocked the amount of issuers and wallets that can't handle the hello world yet. So baby steps.
Yeah, that's true. Manu, you have the floor?
I guess a couple of points. I think the first and most important one is that our company, Digital Bazaar, is committed to helping in this effort. I I know that we're early days and it's going to take a while. But our organization, started in education many years ago, participates in the Silicon Valley Interop programs, and we see a great need for the type of interoperability testing that JFF is proposing here. So we do plan to participate. I know that, the path isn't quite clear, but at least looking at, the OB 3.0 spec, I know that at least our organization can issue any OB 3.0, Hello World example today. So we would be able to use, we can choose between two different cryptography suites. We can take it as long as it's in verifiable credential format. We could send it through the verifiable credential API, and we can issue a conformant credential. This is not a demonstrator. This is the same infrastructure that we're using to roll out verifiable credentials to 152,000 convenience stores across the United States. It's used in retail. It is production-facing stuff. So we're very interested in helping in this initiative. We are happy to provide, our infrastructure to get us there. I'm fairly convinced that we can do issuance and verification, at least get, some conformance to the spec and to the upcoming verifiable credential to a working group crypto suites. I'm fairly confident we can do that. The only thing I'm struggling with is the wallet protocol. And that's not a challenge just for the VCEDU industry. It is a challenge for all the industries. It's being actively debated and talked about right now. But even then, we could reuse something that we used in the Silicon Valley Innovation Program, like Chappie, to move something from an issuer to a wallet and display it there. So all the pieces are there. And it's good that we're saying that, it's going to take, multiple interop fests to get to where we want to get to. But I just wanted to speak in support of the initiative. I think it's a great initiative. Our company is absolutely, willing to participate and will, over the next year or more. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Sharon, do you have anything before I call on Dimitri?
No, I appreciate those comments, Manu. Let's call on Dimitri.
Hey, Dimitri, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to say a big plus one to what Manu said. So one of the interesting and difficult things about this interop, and again, even though it's Hello World, it's going to test multiple, the full range of the ecosystem, is issuers have to participate, wallets have to participate to display. We have to settle on the data model interop, which is we'll all agree on an example Open Badges version 3 credential, and most importantly, which is what Mana pointed out, the participants will need to agree on minimal protocol, right? So it is a test of data model protocol and display. So in order to make this work, the issuers and the wallets will need to agree on a minimal subset of protocol so that the wallets can pick up the credential from the issuers and display it. So that'll be part of the cohort discussion.
Yeah, exactly. That's a part of the collaborative efforts of this, is that we'll work together to decide those things. They're not being dictated at all. Phil Long, you have the key?
Yeah, most of the conversation just now has addressed the clarification that I was hoping to hear. The one thing that I wanted to double check is that is the expectation that an issuer will or need to be able to issue their credential to at least two different vendor wallets that are in the suite, or is just any one sufficient?
Sharon, do you want to answer that one?
Okay, so I can be swayed, but I think that I am going to stick to my guns about this being a very first baby step and say issue to one, although I would love if it was multiple. I just want to be reasonable about how big this first step is. So I'm happy to hear people's feedback. I like in my bones want to say more than one, but I am afraid that that is too hard.
Thank you. David C., you have the floor.
Yeah, sure. David Chadwick here. There's a lot to interrupt. Some of it, most of it's been mentioned, but not all of it. There is also, when you are requesting to display, when a third party requests to display, there's also the query language that needs to be transferred between the requester, the wallet, and then how the response goes back. Which is part of protocol, but it's not just the protocol, because you can have a protocol with different query languages in it. And there are actually two different query languages currently being specified. One is by this CCG, which is the presentation, draft that's out. And then the other one is by DIF, which is Presentation Exchange. So we haven't touched on that either. So that needs to be thought about. Also, there's the crypto issue. Are we going to specify one crypto suite or allow multiple different crypto suites? And on a practical note, I've just looked at your repository and I've clicked on the API, but the API reference doesn't work. It says not found. So I can't actually get to the API. To see what it is. And are you expecting those APIs to be supported, or can the issuer and the wallet have their own API and method of issuing? As long as the actual issued credential conforms to the schema, is that satisfactory?
I'm going to call on Manu because I think he might have some answers to David's questions.
Oh, no, I do not. Unfortunately, they're great questions. I have opinions about what it could be. But I think what we're trying to do is explore, I don't know, right? So the high level question, David raised some very good questions and they need to be answered at some point, right? So I'll kind of leave it there. Happy to opine more if we get to, you know, that down in the weeds. But at a high level, I kind of wanted to ask, Sharon, what does success look like to JFF, in the first month, or the Governors Association, right? So what do they need to see happen in this first iteration to convince them that there is something substantial going on here? And understanding that that is just one set of, you know, people we're trying to make happy, you know, in the first iteration. The other is, what does this community feel is, you know, defines success, in that first baby step. So for example, my opinion is it would be a success if we could just get the data format issuing and verifying, without the wallets. And I completely understand the desire to put the wallets in there and get that protocol working. And absolutely, we should be working on that in parallel. But I want to see if, you know, where success is. Like, or do we feel like we've made good progress if in the first iteration, we've got data model interop and crypto suite interop, for example?
Okay. Sharon, do you want to? Okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll say like, what are some of my not technical like goals? And then I'll say some of what I think are the sort of like things that necessarily have to happen in order to make that happen. Right. So I think that when we're introducing something brand new that people have just heard about, what we want to show someone is that what we really want to demonstrate is that this is a real different path forward and that it can really be done. Which is why I see in the chat that display is in air quotes. I think that people just want to see what it looks like first as the very first introduction. So we've introduced a new concept to people recently. We've said that it's not just a bunch of digital credentials, which are hugely popular in education right now. There is a giant marketplace. This is where a significant amount of dollars in the education technology, in the training and the employment technology space have been funneled. But what we're saying is that in order for all of these disparate investments to work, they need to work together, which is to say that they need to all share a common data format. We'd like for that to be the verifiable credentials data format for a lot of the reasons that we specify in our report. So now we've introduced a new topic, and we've also introduced a new way of acting and behaving that is a little scary because it's different from the norm. So for some people who I think favor institutional stability, this is a way of us demonstrating to people that this new way actually works. Like, we're not selling them the rocket ship car. We're saying, yes, rocket ship car does great things. But as a first step, it actually works. These things actually work, and they can work together. So that is like one key goal, is to introduce to a community a brand new technical concept in a way that is not intimidating. But I think the second and more important one is for this particular community to begin to work together to make these decisions. I think a lot of times there is, you know, lots of repositories and a lot of APIs and a lot of code and a lot of specifications. But to get them to work together in real life, and I think everyone has all of the right intentions, which is why we spend time together every other Monday. But I think what we want to do is to actually start to work together to make this real. I think we all share this vision, and getting a cohort together to even minimally work on one baby step is, I think, the start of what Humphrey Bogart would call a beautiful relationship. And we want to continue this so that we all reach our goals. I think what technically needs to happen is that that open badge needs to show up in a wallet, and it needs to be understandable to people who are looking at it who may not have the technical background. So I'll leave that there and let others weigh in on what they think would be useful.
Thank you, Sharon. And actually, I put myself in the queue, and also in response to this, but also David's questions, which are great questions, and Bonnie was saying, is that as a cohort, we can dig into these questions and see what we can agree upon together for these deliverables. Display is a really big deal, right? We don't have a common display for these credentials, and that makes it hard for them to understand. So I see that as one of the primary goals of this first step, what we're doing. And real quick though, David, can you put a link in the chat about the API question that you were asking? Because there's a few of them, and I wasn't sure which link. Human. Deb, you're next.
So first of all, sorry, my voice is not very good from a cold, but there's all of these different critically important layers of the technology that are happening under the surface. And so this community is getting that work done, which is super important. I would say one of the near-term immediate goals in terms of introducing this topic to non-technical audiences is really literally being able to see it. So in our work with states and governors and, you know, federal agencies, these are non-technical people who want to begin to understand this concept and how it can be applicable for them and the people that they help to serve and empower. So just to be able to see, for example, three different types of learning and skill credentials from three different providers alongside an identity credential in an easy to view wallet is, you know, really important first step for that audience. And then I can see a next step from there being, okay, now you can picture this wallet. Let's put it in a storyboard or several different storyboards so that you can see how a person is going to use this wallet across different credential transactions over time. And it doesn't need to be a complicated storyboard, but then putting that into action and showing that that also is real, I think would be the next step.
Thanks, Deb. Here. Dimitri.
Thanks. So I'd like to make a proposal to Sharon and the group, which is if we're going with wallet has to pick up a credential from just one issuer to the start, I'd like to propose that we require that it not be the issuer from the same company as the wallet, right? So we need a little bit of cross pollination, either like picked at random or agree upon beforehand. But for example, taking the case of DCC's wallet and issuer, it's trivial for DCC's wallet to display a credential from the DCC issuer because that's what we've been testing on, that's what we've been deploying pilots on. Displaying credentials from other issuers is trickier. So I propose that is one of our criteria.
I think that's a great idea.
Manu?
Yeah, plus one to what Dimitri just said. That is certainly the way that the DHS Silicon Valley Innovation Program InteropFest work worked. We initially had used Chappie to move things between the issuer and the wallet back to a verifier, and we tried to use different parties for the issuer and the wallet and the verifier. And for those of you that have seen the video, there's this big complex, like N by N interoperability thing that we did. So it's certainly a very possible, doable thing in time. I guess the question I had, you know, kind of looking at, seeing that display is one of the things, right? I mean, people need to be able to see this. Do we know what that OB3O credential is, like the test credential we're going to use, and what it looks like? You know, are we just going to use a display image, or are we planning on the digital wallet doing kind of a rendering of the data? What were the thoughts there? So if we've got an OBV3O, you know, credential sitting in the wallet, what are the instructions to the wallet vendors to render that in a way that's viewable?
Hey, Manu, I'm going to jump in on that question because that's also a really great question. And I think that is what we're going to be working on at the wallet providers and at VC Edu together and trying to figure that out. And one thing to note is that Open Badges 3.0 does not require a badge image. So that will be interesting to that's a brand new thing and something that will be interesting to try out. There are some basic required fields, and then we could add some other properties if we'd like. But we'll probably want to keep it very simple, just a very, very simple open batch. David, you're back in the queue. You're on the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I also have the same question as Manu, which is, where can we see one of these OB3 credentials? Because I'd really like to look at it and its contents and get the schema. So I haven't managed to get that yet. So that's my first request. The second thing is that I don't actually agree with the other speakers that say they want to mix the issuer and the wallet for the following reason. That is, there are going to be orders of magnitude more relying parties than issuers. The issuers, in many cases, were quite small. For example, professional accreditation of things, there'll only be one issuer, and that's it. You get your professional accreditation of this particular type from this issuer, and there's no choice. Okay. But the relying parties, there'll be orders of magnitude of them, and therefore, I think the more important interworking is that the wallet can send the credential to many different relying parties and have them understand it and view it.
Sharon, do you want to answer David's question? Would you like me to take a stab at it?
Why don't you take a stab at this?
Okay. Actually, I think Dimitri just sort of answered it in the chat. That could be the next thing we do. We also think that's very important, but we're really at this like hello world stage where we're really just trying to get a open badge into a wallet. Okay, next in the queue is Nate Otto.
All right, thanks. Let me know if my microphone doesn't sound good. These Bluetooth headphones are not great.
You sound fine.
I actually minus one the maybe suggestion that we insist on issuer and wallet provider being separate entities for this phase. If we're talking about baby steps, we may find that there is a wallet provider that wants to participate and, you know, they want to focus most of their effort on building the display logic within their wallet. And maybe, you know, essentially we're just using an example credential, single blob of signed JSON LD anyway. So the presence of a particular issuing software that is a separate entity from them, I don't think is absolutely critical to this phase of the work. Certainly it's great when we can do it, and I encourage all participants to work with multiple entities, you know, one representing issuer and one representing wallet for interoperability, but it may not make sense as a requirement. And then in the future, you know, I would say that also to David's point around the number of issuers, we've seen in the Open Badges ecosystem so far that there are hundreds of thousands of issuers in the world as well. It's not a very limited supply. For every single individual credential, of course, there is only the issuer that has defined it, but for all of the credentials in total, there are many issuers.
And yet, as a follow-up, Dimitri makes a point here about if an issuer is interoperating with their own wallet, then it's not really, or issuing from its own wallet, it's not really demonstrating interoperability if the wallet already knows that issuer. Would you suggest the wallet would issue to another wallet? And something we could talk about in the cohort later? Sorry, Nate, did you want to try to answer that question? If not, we'll move on to John Q. Co. next. All right, John?
Hey, Carrie. Actually, I was going to say almost exactly the same thing that Nate said. I will defer, but I will just kind of add the comment that, you know, being able to cross-issue is a great thing, but it seems kind of like, so I see several, you know, use cases, you know, and I think that Sharon's original scope, you know, the baby step of just us all using the same schema is a really good one and, you know, fairly easily achievable. You know, my head is kind of exploding in trying to figure out like how we could, you know, collaborate, and it increases the complexity of the challenge by an order of magnitude if you're asking people to use your wallet, custom APIs and everything else to be able to issue the credential. You know, we'd have to document and or work with a bunch of things to be able to expose our services and all of that. And you know, they're not that complicated, but it is like just a lot more orchestration involved and communicating with third parties rather than just working within your own team. So I would propose that we do that, but not for the initial, you know, I would think that we'd want to do it next. And then that's easier than the last one, which is probably moving VCs around from wallet to wallet. That's like, to me, one of the hardest things to do because the interop specs are varied and who knows, like, and anyways, I would agree with Nate 100%, but I also agree with Dimitri that it's not really interop until we do that. But baby steps, let's go back to what Sharon was trying to emphasize. Let's just get the first baby step done, and then we could try to do another pass where, okay, now everyone should publish, you know, whatever services and documentation are needed for other issuers to stick a VC in someone's wallet, because then there's all sorts of did stuff that has to happen. I mean, it's just much more complicated. So I think that's it.
Thanks, Sean. That's some really good feedback that we can talk about. Brandon, you're in the queue.
This is sort of on the same topic, and maybe it's not necessary based off what Dimitri and Manu have been saying in chat, but the data request or the information request that's included as part of Sharon's call focuses, I read as focusing on primarily the wallet. I think that we need issuer and the issuer and the wallet to be different entities or from different entities. I may be able to support the baby steps argument that that's maybe the next step, but I don't. It's the interesting step to me. And if we go that route, then I think there needs to be an information request for the issuers as well to provide information to either information to the to Sharon and JFF, like she's requested for the wallet, or conversely, JFF needs to say these are the things the issuers must do, like conform to the VCA API and the other things that Manu and Chappie that Manu and Dimitri have been talking about in chat.
Thanks, Brendan. Also, very good feedback. Sharon, do you have any comments, or when I'm taking notes of all the feedback right now?
I'm only going to give a quick comment to that. Brendan, I think that brings up an excellent point, which is like we haven't. Okay. So I see that there's some discussion going on about whether it's like VC APIs, et cetera. I think that, to your point, like, yes, the issuer, we would need to very clearly state upfront who is the issuer and what are all of the things that the issuer will do and what does that look like from like us, like a format perspective. I imagine that we would bring like once we, like, I think that our first step was deciding that this was the next, that this is what the group would do. And as, once we finalize who is in this initial cohort, we will get together with that cohort as well as, you know, we will work on finding the issuer and having that settled and then work on this problem altogether, because I think there are a number of issues that are technical that need to be resolved, not resolved in a way that you will now henceforth and forevermore do it like this for your product, but that as a group for the purposes of this small demonstration, these are the minimum set of specifications that we will all agree to do. And so that is what we would like to do together as a cohort. And then I will say one quick thing and let Carrie say more about what this looks like, but this is also meant to be a learning activity for all of us. I think in this community, this has not been tried before. It's certainly a way for a lot of information to come out about what works and what not, does not in this particular context. And we would like to make sure that we continue to work in the open. Carrie, would you like to, I know you have a couple of thoughts about that.
No, actually, you said that perfectly, but to sort of reiterate that point about us learning together, that is what this group is doing. That's part of the charter of VC Edu, is for us to learn and move things forward together. So this isn't necessarily about each specific product, but all of us trying to move the needle ahead, right? Push it all ahead for everybody. Manu?
Let's see. This is kind of going back to the display, you know, the question of display. Still a bit stuck on that. I wanted to suggest something. So the easiest thing for us to kind of display is a PNG image. So if the badge has an image, we can just kind of display that, ideally. If what we're trying to do is tell a story to the larger industry, and get the display so it looks the same in all the wallets, what we've found out is that sometimes when a credential looks different in two different wallets, people get kind of unnerved by it. Which is a bit weird, right? Because, people kind of view, you know, when they're used to their experience with like their Apple wallet, they don't freak out when Microsoft or Google decides to display it in a different way in their wallet, right? When we're in storytelling mode, showing two different wallets, showing the same kind of rendering of a badge, might be something that we want to optimize for in the beginning. It's also very easy to implement showing an image. I did want to point out, though, so that's the baby step. The longer path, though, is that we are expecting, Digital Bazaar is expecting, that we're going to propose a display characteristic for the credential that allows you to specify display hints. So it can be an image, it can be a static image, or it you can specify key fields that you would like to have rendered. So the wallet can use those key fields and make sure that it renders those before the other ones. And then we get more and more advanced. So we can provide SVG templates where you can render badge data into an SVG template. You can include that template in the credential, all the way up to, having, you know, a web component. So all this to say that there's a very rich landscape of things that are going to take years to really standardize. But my suggestion here for the first iteration is, you know, can we agree to just show a picture, like an image, and then, upgrade that to more dynamic displays, you know, as the weeks and months, roll on. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Dimitri?
Thanks. So I wanted to, respond to two comments, one about custom wallet protocols that John mentioned, and one I wanted to respond to Manu. So I think it's important to highlight, John, I agree with you that getting all the wallet or all the issuers to sort of publicize their own custom protocols and interop is too hard of an ask. Fortunately, the whole point of the this exercise, though, is to demonstrate support for standards or emerging standard protocols, right? So we do not want custom issuer APIs or custom wallet APIs. We want to demonstrate the interop for the agreed upon ones. In terms of the display, Manu, I'm glad you mentioned. One of the things I was going to mention next is that VC Edu in the coming weeks is also going to be exploring specifying a display mechanism, again, for either hints or deterministic display between credentials between wallets, because that's definitely a pain point we're running into amongst education wallets. So if the VC working group or the CCG is going to be working on that as well, I think we should obviously collaborate. In terms of whether to require the PNG or not, I would vote that we don't require it, that we because as others pointed out in the chat, one of the innovations of Open Badges version 3 is that it doesn't require a static baked image, that it allows wallets a little more flexibility. So I think the displaying the PNG should be optional. I agree that we're trying to not alarm viewers, but for this first step, wallets should have should be able to have choice in what they display.
Thanks, Dimitri. We only have 5 minutes left. I want to give Sharon a couple of minutes to close things. So we're going to take questions from Nate, David, and stop at sorry, I'm saying name wrong. Matuzo? So Nate, you have the cue.
Sure. Just very briefly, Sharon suggested a mechanism for the cohort to decide on, you know, what specific nitty-gritty things are required once you kind of sign up and get involved in the program. And display agreements is kind of exactly the type of thing that it makes sense for that. I think it'll be really easy to be able to select a certain set of fields that are important that represent kind of the core of the badge itself, such as its name, maybe the description. And then if the image exists in the badge, I think it should be displayed. Badges for a long time have been visual symbols of achievement. And just because they are now optional in the spec doesn't mean that we don't want to see them very prominently when they exist. So I think it'll be really easy for the cohort members themselves to decide on what should be displayed. And if we get a little bit of variation, that's probably okay. This is just a baby step.
Thanks, Nate. David?
Yeah, I just wanted to, it's a comment really, that we're working with a professional qualification provider at the moment, and they are regulated in how their credentials are displayed, not only the contents, but the actual order. So, you know, what the qualification is, what date it's issued, who the president of the organization, the particular order is specified as well. So the wallet is expected to present the credential in exactly the specified format, which is not defined by the wallet provider, but by the external accreditation body.
That's really interesting, David, and the kind of thing that we really want to be able to work out in this space. So thank you for mentioning it. And lastly, we have, I'm sorry I'm going to say your name wrong, correct me if you'd like,
You could just call me Irene. Yes, my comments are, one around the visualization of the credential, particularly for the African market. That's something the team that's working on this might want to also think about, because it's not so much around interest in badges, but more around, you know, the entire information in the credential. So also linking that so that we are able to get the African perspective. Then my question is around basically, of course, once the team works on this, I assume that there'll probably be certain people that are going to test this out and try it out. Have we thought, deliberately thought about the sensitization around this, because that's also key.
Thank you, Irene. It's a good question. And we'll keep that in the notes too. Sharon, you have a couple of minutes if you want to say a few things to close us out.
I just need 10 seconds. So if people want to discuss other things, my 10 seconds was here. I'm typing in my email in the chat. Send me an email if you would like to join the cohort by this Friday, and we will get a call with everyone who has participated to start this conversation about the particular protocols and display and all of the other things that we need to resolve.
Thank you. We can also start discussions in the VCEDU mailing list, which is public. I'm putting it in the chat for you right now, VCEDU. Actually, I will send an email out, typing it in wrong. But we can start the discussions there and ask all the questions, really. Just put them in here and we can have discussions and keep this going in that thread as well as we get started. Okay, we're pretty much at the hour. So thank you, Sharon, very much for getting this kicked off. And thank you all of you for excellent questions. And let's see what great stuff we can do here together.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Carrie and Sharon. Terrific stuff.
Yeah, thanks all. Excited to see what happens.
Definitely exciting times.